If we'll remember, in the letter of 1 Corinthians that Paul had written, the issue was there are issues in this body of believers. And what's going on is Paul has set up these assemblies in different houses. They have gone into houses, and there are people that have grasped this knowledge of truth. So Paul is talking to those that are saved by the grace of God. Some things that we need to know also about Corinthians is the word was not complete yet. So there were things that were still going on that we don't deal with today because we are complete now in Christ. Those things that are in part have passed away. All things have been made known now. Okay? But these people did not have the joy in the fact of knowing. Some things came to them through edification, through speaking in tongues, through there were still healings going on. There were still a lot of things that were taking place. If you study Romans chapter 18, 19, and 20, you'll see a lot of that. Okay? But in saying that, there were still issues that were going on in the church. We stayed on chapter 1 for a long time, how Paul touched on the issue of baptism, because all these believers were making a big deal about who baptized them. Okay, and so Paul ends up making that statement, I don't care if I baptized anybody anymore. The issue was, is the cross of Christ, not baptism and not anything like that. And so what he did, he started in chapter 1, verse 10, how it was reported to him by the house of Chloe. Some people had reported to Paul some things that were going on, and they were making much about the wisdom of the world. The Athenians were around. They knew about all the gods and all the things and the stars and things like that. And people in these assemblies were letting these people come in and teach them things that had nothing to do with the grace of God, but instead was shadowing the cross. And that's the important thing, is the issue of not how many we're bringing in, but the issue is we can't shadow the cross whenever we share the word. And that's what was going on. So this house of Chloe wrote to Paul, okay? And Paul writes back, and the cool thing about that I mentioned before, Paul doesn't write back just what he wants to write. Because if I wrote you a letter, typically if I text you today, you're going to text me back what you want to know. We need to remember, Paul didn't just write what he wanted to. He received this letter from the house of Chloe, or this report, whether it was from somebody else or not. But what happens? God speaks through Paul to write this letter back. So it's not just a text message back or a letter back, but it's God writing back. And Paul's the author as he writes it. Or Paul's the writer as God is the author. Okay? And so there's one issue that's going on. So Paul's making much to do about what? Issues about men's wisdom, about baptism. What else have we learned also about the Corinthian people? How many other instructors did they have that would name the name of Jesus, but it was not Jesus that had been resurrected? So it was other instructors. Okay, there were a lot of things that were going on that were being made much about. Some of it was not sharing truth. Some of it was things that had passed away. And some of it was dealing with man's wisdom instead of God's word. Okay? That was a huge issue that was going on with the issues in the early church, the body of Christ. What about the other thing? These people, the reason they were able to follow these things, what were they on? Were they on milk or were they on meat? The issue was they were acting just like babies. They were still on the milk of the word. Paul couldn't even teach them anything in depth because they had not taken the time in their assemblies to learn the way they needed to learn. And the issue was probably not when they were in the assemblies. The issue is what they were doing with themselves through the week so when they came in the assemblies that they would recognize these problems. It's a major issue. And so Paul has written this letter back and it's God-breathed, right? Well, have you ever noticed if you put a bad orange with a bunch of other bad oranges, with a bunch of good oranges, will those other oranges rot quicker? Absolutely. That badness will manifest itself. Right? Have you ever
seen a rotten potato in a bag of potatoes? Give it like a few days. Just throw all the potatoes away. And it'll be awful. And so what you see is there's some issues in the church that something real little starts manifesting itself and becoming worse and growing and growing and growing. So sometimes you have to get, sometimes bad or things that are issues have to get out. You can't just sweep things under the rug all the time, can you? You can get rid of the flu. You can be healed from, I will tell you what, you will not get rid of a cancer. Right? It has to be cut out usually. If a doctor comes to me and tells me I have the flu, okay. But if a doctor came to you and said you've got cancer, you want to leave it in, or if you get it out, you'll be okay. What are you going to tell them to do? Cut the thing out. Right? You don't want it to matter. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, and this is what happens in assemblies today. There's probably been a lot of churches that have started off with the right attitude, with the right stuff, but because of here, and pockets here, and pockets here, it manifests itself. And the next thing you know what it is? It's an assembly, it's a denomination, or it's a group with people that are deceiving inside. In the book of Titus, if you read Titus, that's all Paul talks about, is you better get the right people in the right place, because there are a lot of people that look really good that will deceive you. Right? That was the issue that was going on with Paul. If you go to chapter 5, look what Paul says. Look how this letter just gains more steam. It's like a little bitty snowball rolling down a mountain. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, look what Paul says. It is reported commonly that there is... So here's another report besides the house of Chloe. It says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now that's kind of gross, but let me tell you, it goes on everywhere today. But the issue is that Paul's claiming is not so much as this one person, but the problem was is that the church, the assembly, became so sickening that they were worse than the Gentiles who were known as not saved people, like the Athenians or those that worshipped other gods. There were other gods even in some of these assemblies that were coming along. So Paul says, there's something reported that even those who weren't involved in the assembly wouldn't even do. It's pretty bad, right? Let me tell you, the meanest people in the world go to church. I promise. They do. I'm probably one of them, I know. But the meanest people in the world can go to church. And so Paul's making this report about this dude that's with his dad's wife. The snowball's gotten so big. Let's keep reading. Look what Paul says. And ye are puffed up. What do these mega churches do when it becomes about the programs and not about the Word? They become very puffed up. I mean, tell you what, the worst thing that happened to us is we're as the size we are now, and we get huge and we become puffed up. As a small church right now, there's things that we can take care of before it ever happens, right? But there's things we have to do. Look, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned. These people weren't even sad about it or concerned. They just hid it. They swept the cancer under the rug. He says, not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Okay? He goes on, he says, for I verily, as absent in the body, Paul's not there, but present in spirit, they remembered the things that Paul taught. They are using, remember what Paul says? He is a pattern for hereafter, for life everlasting. So, anywhere this assembly would be right, what would they be following? Who was Paul the minister of? The Gentiles, us. By the way, that same spirit that was in Paul, if we are rightly dividing the word, that same spirit is here today in you. Right? So those are the things that we're learning. So Paul says, even though I'm not there, okay, my spirit is there, the very same spirit. We're a body. We're one, right? He says, for I verily as absent in the body, verse 3, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. You ever heard all your life, don't judge me,
Don't you be judging me. You're judging. It's not fair to judge. Let me tell you what. If you're my sister or you're my brother in Christ, I have every right to judge the way you live. Absolutely. If you got an issue with me or you feel like there's something that I have an issue with that I may not even notice or that I may be doing willingly, you have every right. As your pastor, you better confront me. It needs to be confronted. How do you think we can be of the same mind, the same spirit, and for me to be a part of this assembly if I'm living a different lifestyle than what I'm called to live? Now, bet your life, it ain't about the law or the things that you do. It's about the life that you live considered in the Word of God. Okay? So I'm not about a bunch of rules, but I'm talking about as a body, the way you need to be living. Okay? Maybe it's being in the Word and not being not out of the Word. Maybe it's those things that you ought to be doing as a believer. Okay? Paul says, I judge this person and I'm not even there. In fact, he's written a letter to report about it. Now look, let's carry on. I'm not going to stay on this because I want you to see the difference in judging. We have a real big habit to make ourselves feel better about ourselves of leaving here, or I used to. Many churches do today. They'll leave the church, and you know what they do? They look at the world, and they judge the world so they can compare how good they are. Well, look what good it continues to go on. Verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that, look what it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little issue in the assembly can ruin the whole assembly. And so the issue is we do judge each other. We do become in a position that as we grow as a family, we need to be able to correct each other and reproof each other. And that's part of loving. Now, I'm not talking about a part of judging. Paul don't want to deliver this guy to Satan to destroy him. He knows the issue that this guy has a problem with is what? He's walking in the flesh. He's not trusting in the Spirit. Right? He says to deliver one so that his flesh... The issue is, he is living a lifestyle that he's not called to live anymore. Right? That's the issue. But the issue also is, these people are puffed up and are just hiding it. Okay? Like it's okay. And it's affecting the whole assembly. So much so, as you continue to read the 1 Corinthians, you're going to find out they even bring gods in to worship other gods while they're naming the name of Jesus as the resurrected Lord. That's crazy. But let me tell you, it will happen. It happens today. And so, look, just going real quick. So I'm going to be through in a minute, and we'll carry this verse out and be more specific in the next few weeks. Look what he says in verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we'll take a whole lesson on that. Look what he says, though. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs to go out of the world. What's Paul talking about? Paul says, look, I wrote in an epistle a while back that if you got brothers and sisters in Christ that are doing the things that are against the truth, you know, let's remember what God called Israel. He called Israel a whore. He called Israel a harlot. They weren't going out and being a fornicator with other people, but they were going out, if they had left their God, that is just like for them. And so the picture is, because he mentions a lot of other things, idolaters, malice, and all these other things too. The issue is, Paul says, you better judge those that are right. He says, now I'm not talking about those people that are out in the world that are doing this, because if you get away from them, you might as well go to another planet. You can't get away from this world, okay? But you can deal with the issues with the body together. Paul says, God will judge them. Don't worry. Our job isn't to go out and judge those who aren't our brothers and sisters. Our job is to judge those who are our brothers and sisters. God will judge the others. Notice what he says. We'll read a little bit slower. Look in verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs to go out of the world. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called what? A brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Paul says, I don't have anything to do with judging those that are not a brother. But I have everything to do with a brother or sister in Christ that I see has an issue. Why? To let them, to remind them, they're not of the flesh. That has been dead and crucified. They need to live as a minister of reconciliation. It's to restore the one who is spiritual, not what? Physical. Okay? Another issue. Let me put it this way. Don't forget, a lot of times we think of the worst things in the world. How about this? How about the brother that sees the truth of the Word, that becomes free in Christ, that has understood that Christ did it all, I don't need to worry about it, and then what do? They pick up tithing again. And then they start going to the altar again and start asking for forgiveness. Or they start doing these things that they were not called to do anymore because that was old leaven. I know many, many, many that have come here that have seen the truth, that are in other churches today that have picked up those things that are passed away. Those things, when they became a new creature, I said, you leave it at the door. They picked those things. So it's not just those things we do wrong. It's those things that we got away from and we started picking them back up again and started doing them again. It's all those things. You can't go back to those things that don't apply to us anymore as a body of believers. And Paul says, look, I'm not talking about the one who's not saved. God will judge them. I don't have any reason. But he was judging those that were coming in. What about the other instructors? The things that the old leaven did. What about being amazed by other men instead of what the Word said? The issue is they're staying on the milk. In closing, he says, for what have I to do to judge them that are also without? Do you not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So the issue today is, when somebody says, don't judge me, if they're your brother and sister, you need to let them know, oh, I will judge you. Because you're the same body. It's not nice, but it's the truth, right? You know the one thing that I noticed in all this? I know I gave you like 100 pounds on your back earlier, but I didn't see one issue where Paul mentioned about the church being added to, or about how many were there now, or about how many left the church, or how many needed to be there, or what kind of things they needed to do. The issue that he talked about was what? Sincerity and truth. That was the issue. So, if we're not careful, we see these things with our eyes, and we get down because we may get a little bit of bad news. But that's not what you're supposed to see with. You're supposed to see with the truth. I would rather have 20 people in here that grasp the truth, that can change the world, than 100 that 80 of them can leaven the whole group. The cool thing is we can rejoice in the fact that those in this small group can change a lot of things if they're sincere and they're sincere about the truth. and they're willing to be reproved, corrected, to become stronger. And they're willing to leave and get off the milk, quit showing up on Sunday just to hear a message, and said through the week they study the Word. You know what's going to make this assembly different than any other assembly? Is we fellowship together, we know each other, and we stand the Word, and we confront each other. And we make much about this ministry, and much less about just the things we want to do. And so that takes some sacrifice on my part too. And so those are things that are important. If this ministry is important, it'll show itself. We don't have to talk about this every week. It'll come on its own.